Turn with me to John chapter 18. We have a little thought there that we can take to heart yet before we change the order of this service. John chapter 18. Sometimes during the camp season, Brother Tom will make a fire for the staff. There's something about a fire. People like to be around a fire. Some of our young people the other night went and had a little bonfire somewhere. It wasn't too big, I guess, but I said, "What'd you do?" "Oh, we sat around the fire and talked." I said, "You had to have a fire to talk? What? I don't get it." There's just something nice about a fire, especially up at Pilgrim Camp. When you're in the woods, when you're at camp, you have to have a fire. So maybe you'll get your fire. I really hope you do get your fire while you're here at camp. And I'm not talking about the one that Brother Tom builds, as nice as that is. But there's another fire that Jesus wants to kindle in our hearts. But first of all, let's look at this fire in John chapter 18. There are two fires mentioned in the Gospel of John, and both of them are very significant. The first fire we read about is the fire that Peter stood and warmed himself by. That was in the courtyard where Jesus was on trial. Jesus had been with his disciples there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then Judas came, and he led a band of soldiers and religious leaders to come and arrest Jesus. And the Bible tells us that they all forsook him and fled. And Jesus was taken away alone. But it says that Peter followed afar off. And I'm sure we're all acquainted with that story of Simon Peter trying to see what was happening with Jesus and yet at the same time hide in the shadows, as it were. And so it says that in verse 15, Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. And Peter stood at the door without. Then went out the other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Now, some people feel that that was John, the beloved, that he was from a well-to-do family, and he had, he knew some people in high positions, and he had some clout there. And so he was able to get Peter to come in. He was granted permission to come into the courtyard there. And then it says, "Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? And he said, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself." Just imagine that. Here Peter is standing with the enemies of Christ, and he's warming himself by the same fire. Fire in the Bible often speaks of the Spirit. There's the fire of the Holy Spirit, but there's also another spirit that's at work in the world. And the Bible talks a lot about that too. There's a spirit that works in the children of disobedience. And people get drawn into the working of that spirit. We see evidence of that all around us. It's the spirit of the world. God told us, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And so here Peter is warming himself by the fire, along with these enemies of Christ, soldiers and servants, and so on. And then goes on to tell us how Jesus is questioned by the high priest and so on. And it says in verse 25, "And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples?" As he was warming himself by that fire again, he denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, Didn't I see you in the garden with him? Then Peter denied again, and immediately the cock crew. According to the word of Jesus, before the rooster crows twice, you're going to deny three times that you even know me. Peter couldn't believe that, but it happened, just as Jesus said. You know, that's what happens when you warm yourself by the world's fire. When you get close and you mix in with the enemies of Jesus and you try to blend in with them, your heart gets cold toward God. You lose your testimony. You lose your courage to take your stand for Christ. I've seen that happen over and over again. And I've had my struggles with that too, growing up. You know, you got to be careful which fire you're warming yourself by. Listen to the music of the world. Watch all the programs that the world presents to us. Go to all the movies because it's popular. And little by little, you're not even realizing it, but your heart is growing cold toward God. Well, that's exactly what happened to Peter. But then we read about another fire. In John 21, let's turn there. Here's a fire that was not a fire that the world kindled, but it was a fire that Jesus himself had kindled. After Jesus died and rose from the dead, and he appeared to his disciples off and on, we're told that the disciples, you get the impression they really didn't know what to do with themselves. They didn't know when Jesus would turn up again. And they had to do something. They had families to feed. And so they began to get back to work again. Peter said, I'm going fishing. And the others said, well, we're going with you. And so they went out into their ship and they fished, casting their net. And they fished all night, it seems, if I remember correctly. That night they caught nothing. Verse 4. When the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples didn't realize or knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They said, No. He said, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you'll find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And that must have reminded somebody about the time when Jesus first called them. They were fishing all night, catching nothing again. And Jesus told them where to cast the net. I think he went in the ship with them. And they drew a great multitude of fish. And Jesus told them that from henceforth they're going to catch men. And so he was perhaps reminding them of his call over their lives and bringing them back to that. And I believe it was John that said, It's the Lord. And Peter, when he heard that, he jumped into the water and he made his way to the shore. And then it says, when they got to the shore, they found a fire there. As soon as they were come to land, verse 9, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And they drew the fish onto the shore, 154, I think it says, or three. Where is that? Oh, it's okay, give or take one or two. And Jesus laid some of the fish there, and they had breakfast there. Fish and bread. Where's the cook? Stephen? Don't get any ideas.
Thursday,
fish and bread. I like bacon and eggs. Jesus served fish and bread, and they dined there around that fire. And then Jesus, somewhere along the way, drew near to Peter. And he wanted to talk to him. And it seemed that he did it very tenderly, and he wasn't there to embarrass him. He knew what Peter had gone through. Jesus already told him, Simon, Satan hath desired thee that he might have thee, to sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. When you're converted, strengthen your brethren. And so Jesus certainly knew what Peter had gone through. And Jesus wasn't wanting to embarrass Peter or throw salt in the wound or twist the knife or whatever expression you want to use. But he wanted to bring about a healing there. And as Peter sat near the fire that Jesus kindled, his heart was warmed again. And God began to renew something deep within him. He gave him hope again. He assured him of his forgiveness. He renewed his call in his life. And he established a dependence upon himself that would enable Peter to be what God had originally planned for him. And so, as Peter sat near that fire that Jesus had kindled, a miracle took place in his life. And Jesus spoke about his plans over him. "Peter, I haven't forgotten about you, and I've never given up on you. I knew what I had when I called you. I knew you were going to fail me, but I still called you. Because it wasn't what you could do for me that I was interested in. It's what I could do in you. That's why I chose you." And so Peter's heart was warmed. And Peter went on then to be filled with that Holy Spirit as Jesus commanded his disciples. And you know, when you read the book of Acts, you see such a change in Peter. Like night and day. And you say, "I need some of that fire too." The fire that Jesus kindled, that's the fire of the Holy Ghost. That's the fire that when you warm yourself by the fire of the Holy Ghost, when you get into the presence of God, when you let the Word of God burn in your heart, as we've heard tonight, you'll find that Jesus will get your eyes off of yourself. He'll melt away all the fear, all the hardness. He'll renew his call in your life, and he'll take you into his hands in a new way. You know, there's a fire burning here at camp, and we do well to get close to that fire. When we're in the meetings, we ought to recognize the presence of Jesus. That's the fire of the Holy Ghost. And we ought to say, "Lord, I want to warm myself by your fire. I've been too much by the fire of the world, and all it's done is make me cold on the inside. But the fire that Jesus kindles, that's the fire that I need to burn within." And as Jesus causes his fire to burn, he's going to melt some things away that need to be melted away. He's going to soften some areas of your heart that have grown cold and hard. He's going to make you tender toward him again. You're going to begin to hear his voice. You're going to begin to hear his call. And you're going to be able to receive grace from him to pursue him as he intends for you to. And so let's do that every day, whether you get a bonfire on the beach or up in Nonantum. We have a fire every night, every day, every morning. And let's believe that everyone, our campers, all our workers, all our guests, are warmed by the fire of Jesus Christ, the fire of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Now we have a request. Someone asked if we would sing "Dwelling in His Holy Presence." And that goes along with this thought. His presence is that fire. And so let's sing it out of our white book, and then we'll be dismissed. Thank you. Number 3. Praise God. Thank you.
Tomorrow, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts to meet with you again.
Amen. God bless you.